Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for a bit of a look outside the borders of our country to see what's going on in other parts of the world. Jonathan De Burka Butler joins us once again. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, Russia we're going to go to first, and they're closing prisoners, or closing prisons, I should say. Is this because of they've cracked down, crime is starting to evaporate in Russia, or what?
Not exactly. Yeah. I think it's more connected with the war in Ukraine, as far as I know. So as you're probably aware, Russia has been tapping into the resources that it has in its prisons. So this all started fairly early on in the war. When the Wagner Group were involved, and they were, Prigozhin, of course, was filmed going into these prisons and basically offering people money and basically saying to them, if you do 6 months in the army or you join the Wagner Group for 6 months, you'll be set free after those 6 months. And he recruited about 50,000 prisoners, right, from various different parts of Russia. Needless to say, not the most affluent parts of Russia. I think that's very important to emphasize. So places in Siberia and Dagestan and various places like that. So when Prigozhin was no more and the Wagner Group kind of semi-disappeared or at least shifted its concentration to Africa, the Russians decided that, okay, they didn't like the Wagner Group anymore, but they did like this policy. So they continued this policy. And overall, we think that the numbers of prisoners that have been deployed to the front lines is about 150,000, right? So it's quite
extensive. Astonishing number, yeah.
And there was even a statement that was made by the Deputy Justice Minister back in October, who said that the prison population had plunged from 420,000 before the war down to a historic low of 266,000. And that seems to tally with reports from various different NGOs and various different newspapers and the like. So that means that these prisons are now no longer needed. And in order to try and save money, they're being closed down. But another interesting aspect of this is it seems that prison guards are also being redeployed and are being sent to the front lines to basically command these prisoners and do their, you know, get what they need to get done. So it's very interesting. It also begs the question of, what's going to happen when these prisoners all come back, or when the numbers of prisoners go back up again? Now, presumably an awful lot of them are going to be killed, to be said.
Because they wouldn't be trained soldiers. They're cannon fodder, really.
They are. And you know, I think the socioeconomic aspect of this is very important, as I mentioned at the beginning. These are very poor people, the prisoners that are coming from the poorest parts of Russia, and they're being sent into the front lines. As you said, they're not being trained. And now this six-month promise that they were given by Prigozhin is no longer the case. So it's more than likely they're going to have to fight for the duration of the war. And if they last, they may not be given a full pardon. It'll just be some sort of, half pardon, whatever you want to call it. Parole or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. My word. Right. And are they continuing to do this? I mean, will they theoretically run out of prisoners to push into this war?
Well, I suppose in theory they could run out of prisoners to put into it, and then they'd have to go to the leafy suburbs of St. Petersburg and Moscow and recruit people that they didn't want to recruit.
Good luck with that. Mm. Right, Nigeria we're going to go to next. And this is the trial of a transgender celebrity, but I suppose what's more interesting about this is they're accused of abusing currency. Yeah. And how do you do that?
Abusing currency is what it is. So this is four counts of abusing currency. I should say it's a transgender woman by the name of Bobrisky. She has 5 million followers on Instagram and she's based in Lagos. So she's very, very popular. She's a very well-known celebrity. She gets invited to all the right parties, all the right film premieres and the like. And it was at one of these film premieres that she was filmed spraying banknotes. Now, what this means is that you're throwing banknotes up into the air, and it's a sort of a
make
traditional,
it rain kind of thing.
Kind of thing. It's kind of a done at weddings and other celebrations, right? And it's a way of, you know, celebrating or giving thanks or whatever it might be. But it is technically illegal because by doing that, you're abusing the currency. And I think many countries in the world have have laws against, you know, defacing currency or ripping currency up and that kind of thing. But at the moment in Nigeria, they're going through a bit of a crisis because there's a shortage of notes. So they're taking this kind of thing very seriously, right? And they're not, you know, they're not reprinting them and that kind of thing. So about 6 months ago, there was an actress that was actually sent to prison for 6 months for doing something similar, right? Crikey. So there is a precedent there. So anyway, this transgender woman, Bobrisky, she has pleaded guilty to 4 counts of abusing the currency, and she's going to be brought back later today to be sentenced, and she could be sentenced to 6 months in prison.
Yeah, and the shortage of notes, can't they just print more notes, or is that a stupid question?
I don't know if it's a stupid question. I don't know why. I know they've been in a little bit of a crisis over the last year to 18 months around the currency. I think there was talk of changing it or something like that. So I'm not 100% sure as to why they can't print more or why the shortage is there. But they don't like these examples being set by their celebrities. So they're certainly, they seem to have an issue with it, and they're taking it very seriously.
Okay, right. France we're going to go to next, where a 15-year-old... a kid or a 15-year-old boy has been killed after an attack.
Yeah, so this was a 15-year-old boy. They've only given his first name as Shamsedine, and he was in the southern part of Paris. He was in a suburb in Paris. He was walking home around 4:30 last Thursday after a music lesson when he was attacked by 4 youths. Okay, he was brought to hospital, subsequently died. Now, witnesses describe the scene, and they say they saw 4 people kicking him, punching him, and they were all wearing balaclavas. And the reason I'm giving that detail is obviously the wearing of balaclavas would suggest that it was planned, therefore it's premeditated, therefore it means that these individuals could be in big, big trouble. One person has been arrested so far. We know he's a 17-year-old. 3 other perpetrators haven't been found yet, but inevitably they will be caught, particularly if the first person has been caught. And there's major concern over this because this is yet another death close to a school, right? There has been lots of problems, a lot of an interracial, intercultural, there's religious strands to it as well that's going on. You remember that there was in recent years, two teachers were killed in France, and last week a head teacher of a school in Paris resigned, saying that he feared for his life after he received death threats for telling a girl to remove her head covering in accordance with the laws in France.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of tension around that, and just 2 days before this poor young boy, 15 years of age, died, another girl was attacked in Montpellier, and she was left for dead as well. Now, thankfully, she survived. But there was some suggestion that there was bullying going on with her because she wasn't dressing in accordance to her religion. Okay, and there was others in her class who didn't like that. They subsequently attacked her. Now, authorities have said that it wasn't anything connected to religion, but it was something to do over a dispute on Snapchat. The mother disputes that. And all of this is fueling, you know, things on social media about the state of society in France and the influence of religion and what's supposed to be a secular state, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah, but it sounds like there's an increase in violence among that age group, and they're seeing it elsewhere, and it's in whatever the reasons for that are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which must be very worrying indeed.
Gangs, cyberbullying, all sorts of different things. So many strands.
Right, Peru we're going to go to next, and the president has had their house raided.
I love Peru. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, it does.
Politically, has to be said. There has been 6 presidents in the last 7 years, and the turnover is quite remarkable. 5 presidents are in prison or under house arrest currently, former presidents, that is. So it's a remarkable place. Now, at the moment, we've got Dina Boluarte. She's been there for about a year, and she has managed to get herself embroiled in a scandal which people are calling Rolexgate. It all started when a popular Peruvian news podcast analysed 10,000 images from her Flickr account, and they were looking at the jewellery that she was wearing, and they noticed that she had very expensive watches and various different bits, bracelets and earrings and all sorts of things. So that meant that an investigation was launched last month, and prosecutors ordered her to come to a hearing, but she said she was too busy to do that. And they said, well, OK, if you're not going to come to us, we'll come to you. So they knocked down the door of her house, raided the house, and they went in, and they discovered Rolex watches, one of them was worth about 12 grand. They discovered a Cartier bracelet worth about 44 grand.
Nice.
And in total, they reckon there's about half a million's worth of watches and jewellery belonging to her. And she earns 4,000 euros a month as president.
Okay, and she wasn't previously wealthy or anything of that
nature? She says that most of this was earned from hard work that she had done before. Now, she was a civil servant beforehand, and she did serve as vice president. I'm not sure what she did before that, but
yeah.
One thing that was found that doesn't look good is that one of the watches had a warranty that was dated June of 2023. Which isn't particularly long ago.
Oh, okay.
So my feeling is she could be in a little bit of trouble. Not that she'll be kicked out because she has plenty of support in Parliament at the moment.
Okay. But she was elected on an anti-corruption?
Oh, she was, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't they all? Aren't they all? Now, interestingly, about Peru, just to finish on this, Sean, is as a sitting president, you can be investigated during your term, but you can't... be prosecuted. So they can investigate her, wait for her to resign or whatever, and then they can throw her in jail, which is what they did with the other five.
Okay. Right, Ecuador, we're going to go to finally, and, I suppose Mexico, really. Mexico has cut diplomatic ties with Ecuador. That's quite extreme.
It was extreme, and I was going to avoid this because, again, this was related to corruption. I said, not two corruption stories, but this relates to a former vice president of Ecuador, a man by the name of Jorge Glass. He was vice president from 2013 to 2017, and towards the end of his time there, he was embroiled in a scandal around Odebrecht, right? So, you know, the Brazilian company, all this engineering scandal. So they basically paid loads of people off across South America in bribes. And prosecutors said at the end of his term that he had taken the equivalent of about 11 million euros in bribes, right? And he was thrown in prison at the end of 2017, spent 6 years there, was released in November of last year, and another warrant was issued for his arrest. And he said, not going into jail again. Yeah. So I'm going to head to the Mexican embassy where I have friends, and I'm going to look for diplomatic immunity there and eventually asylum. Now, Ecuador was not happy about that. And last week, when Mexico decided, after what they called a thorough analysis of the situation, to give asylum to this former vice president, the authorities in Ecuador decided, well, we're not taking that. He's not going anywhere. He's not leaving Ecuador. If you're not going to give him to us, we're going to go and get him. And that's exactly what they did.
Right.
But it's remarkable because I've never heard the like of, you know, authorities from another state going in forcibly, scaling walls into an embassy to arrest someone who's been given asylum.
That's extraordinary. As soon as you've cut the ties, then it's not Mexican territory anymore, legally.
But interestingly enough, Mexico were the ones to cut the ties, not Ecuador. So extraordinary stuff anyway. And we won't see the end of it for a while, I'd say.
I thought not. Right, so what should we look out for the rest of the week?
Yeah, this evening is Eid. So the end of Ramadan this evening. So happy Ramadan to everybody involved. Tomorrow, parliamentary elections in South Korea. And then on Saturday, take that. Begin their world tour in Sheffield.
That's the big event of the week. Jonathan, thanks a million. As ever, Jonathan DeBarker Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.